ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
Reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text Number 9. Brahmo vacha, vitastu vyamaham tata, svasti sattvam shatikshvara, yandir yavikena valida, Shali metyatma nartikam Brahma uvacha Vritastubhyamaham tata Svasti sadhan kithishvaraha Yannirvyalikena hrida Shadi Metyatma Nartitam Brahma Uvacha. Brahma said, Pritaha, pleased, Tubhyam, unto you, Aham, I, Tata, my dear son, Swasti, all blessings, Stat, let there be, Vam, unto you both, Chiti Ishvara, O Lord of the world, Yad, because, Nirvyalikena, without reservation, Rida, by the heart. Shadhi, give instruction. Ma, unto me. Iti, thus. Atmana, by self. Arpitam, surrendered. Translation, Lord Brahma said, my dear son, O Lord of the world, I am very pleased with you, and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have without reservation surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions. The relationship between the father and the son is always sublime. The father is naturally disposed with goodwill toward the son, and he is always ready to help the son in his progress in life. But in spite of the father's goodwill, the son is sometimes misguided because of his misuse of personal independence. Every living entity, however small or big he may be, he has the choice of independence. If the son is unreservedly, that's this nirvyalika, unreservedly willing to be guided by the father is 10 times more eager to instruct and guide him by all means. The father and son relationship exhibited herein in the dealings of Brahma and Manu is excellent. Both the father and the son are well qualified, and their example should be followed by all humankind. Again, Manu, the son, unreservedly asked his father Brahma to instruct him, and the father, who was full of Vedic wisdom, was glad to instruct. The example of the father of mankind may be rigidly followed by mankind. And that will advance the cause of the relationship of fathers and sons. This verse probably especially resonates for those who are fathers who have sons. But in one sense, because we're, as discussed yesterday, we're in the Brahma Sampradaya, we're sons of Brahma, and so he's showing how he can be so pleased, 10 times pleased, and give all instruction for the benefit of the surrendered member of his disciplic succession. Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. That's yesterday's purport, but compared the two, that what's going on here, this is Svayambhuva Manu, and he's in our disciplic succession. The scene, it's nice to appreciate the dynamic of what's happening here. It's the beginning of another day of Brahma, and half the universe has to be reconstructed, and he's going to require assistance, so from his own body he can produce praja. Doesn't require normal program. He just, from his own body, he produces. So he produced the 4 Kumaras and requested them, please assist me in this program of creating praja to populate the reconstructed universe. And their answer was, no thank you. And he was unhappy. Why you don't help me? And so in his disappointment or anger, Rudra was born. And from Rudra, he caused big havoc. And to tell Rudra, go meditate somewhere. Be peaceful. Don't create big disturbance. And then, from his own body, came Svayambhuva Manu, and the wife of Svayambhuva Manu. And not only was mystic power that these personalities are produced without combination of wife, but they were in their fully matured stage. Features of their body indicating the matured stage of man and woman, and husband and wife. And his first words were, any service for me? Anything, blank slate. That's this Nirvalika. Here, this word Nirvalika is used in slightly different ways. Here Prabhupada has translated it both in the word for word and in the translation and in the purport as without reservation. Like, you know, a conditional. I would surrender if A, B, C, D, then I'll surrender. And that wasn't the position of Manu. It was, he had no idea. He's just born, and it's whatever you want. Unreserved. Or another way that this verse is used, there's several ways it's used. When Brahma, later in this same canto, just in five chapters from now, chapter 19, where Lord Brahma is preparing to create the universe the first time, and he's undergone his penances that are near Vilika. They're without any purpose other than pleasing the Lord. And therefore he became Nirvyalikena. He became, Prabhupada there translates it as free from sin. So go backwards and say, what is sin? It's a desire apart from the interest of the Lord. Whatever it is. So you take, from a transcendental perspective, piety or impiety, it's all an interest apart from the Lord, other than fully for the interest of the Lord. And then when it's fully for the interest of the Lord, then Arjuna's killing and Yudhisthira's lying and whatever it is, it's transcendental, because it's for the interest of the Lord. Whatever it is, it's for the interest of the Lord. It's beyond piety and impiety. And you lose the interest of the Lord part, then you have piety or impiety. So Lord Vishnu was stating to Lord Brahma, you're beyond the contamination of sin. You're near Vyalikena. This austerity and penance that you've done was for no other purpose than my pleasure. Because Krishna knows our purposes. He not only knows what we do, he not only knows the behaviors, but he knows our psychology. He knows our subtle wishes and desires. Lord Vishnu is appreciating Lord Brahma is Nirvyalikena. Here Brahma is appreciating Manu as Nirvyalikena. A blank slate. It's like handing somebody a check and saying, write on it any amount you want. Go ahead. Whatever you want. Who's going to do that? No one will do that. But Manu is doing that. Whatever you want. Vyasadeva, when he is speaking to Narada, and he's feeling, this is in the fourth chapter, first canto, he's feeling despondent after completing the compiling of all the Vedas. And he says, I don't know where I went wrong. Because my study of the Vedas was the Nirvyalikena. It was simply so that I could transmit that in selfless service unto others. The whole business, because it's discussed earlier in that canto, or chapter. Because he's perfect knower of the Vedas, and could see the future, he could see the condition of people in this forthcoming age of Kali and how horrible it would become. And he felt compassion. So what he did in compiling the Vedas was not so he could get a write-up in, you know, New York Times. Oh, look at Vyasadeva has done this great compilation. He got all these reviews and he's a big, big author. It wasn't for some self-aggrandizement. It was only in the interest of the Lord for the welfare of people in general, the victims of the age of Kali. So I studied Vyasa, just reflecting and sharing this with Narada. My study of the Vedas, which was very, very comprehensive, was without motive. It was selfless work. So when there's motive, one may be very enthusiastic, but the whole thing is contaminated. And then it doesn't constitute pure devotional service, or here the word is being used. It's just describing the surrender of Manu. Because at the bottom of the phrase, of the verse, is this phrase, Atmanarpitam. Atmanarpitam is a term that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses in Sharanagati, describing the process of surrender, like it does in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Padma Purana, where it's Atmanivedana. So it's the same, Atmanarpitam. Atmana arpitam. Fully surrendering oneself. And that full surrender of Manu was Nirvilikena. So there's the process of surrender is a gradual one, generally. Once Prabhupada was asked, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious, Swamiji? And Prabhupada's answer was, less than a moment. And in that less than a moment, two things, mental speculation and sense gratification, have to be abandoned. Generally, people are attached to these things, and therefore, generally, the process is gradual. But how long does it take? Less than a second. The surrendering process is gradual because of our attachments. And when there's full surrender, as Manu is doing here with Brahma, it's not gradual, it's full surrender, unreserved, with leaving him in a completely sinless state, without condition, like, you know, I can do my service, Prabhu, as long as I have da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, Bhaktisiddhanta's instruction of Srila Prabhupada was to go to the Western countries and teach the message of Lord Chaitanya. And he could have said, well, I can do, provided da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And none of those things were there. So, we wouldn't be in Krishna consciousness if Prabhupada had those conditions. But his surrender was unconditional. It was just, there's an instruction, fulfill it. I think all of us who have been engaged in devotional service for some period of time can share our experiences or others seeing others undergoing, starting with nothing but some instruction, like, you know, go distribute books, or one of the classic ones from Your Ever Well-Wisher was Prabhupada instructing someone who was Satsarupa Maharaj, go start a magazine, Back to Godhead magazine. And this professor commenting on, he didn't even know the first thing about publishing a magazine. It's not like 1, 2, 3, it's involved. But he just had conviction because Prabhupada said, go start the magazine. And so he did it, and it happened. And it was very rustic. I got one of those stapled together Back to Godhead magazines. This is my first Back to Godhead magazine. But after I read it, it's, you know, I'm on the program, ready to practice Krishna consciousness with the devotees. Just because somebody took Prabhupada's instruction and made it happen with nothing but an instruction to do it. And so on and so on and so on. Our movement is filled with examples of someone taking some instruction and just making it happen somehow or another. Prabhupada's phrase was, do the needful. Whatever that is, do the needful. Of course, do the needful in Krishna consciousness. When phrases, just some of personal appreciation for the Bhagavatam's language and poetry, when phrases like this appear and they're used again and again, there's some, it's like a you know, like the backdrop behind the deities. There's a certain pattern, and part of the beauty of tapestry or the pattern of the Vyasasan, there's certain features of it that appear and appear and appear, and it's part of the symmetry, is part of the beauty of any artistic creation. So the symmetry of the Bhagavatam similes, certain phrases carry with them some power. So the Bhagavatam wants us to understand surrender in this unreserved, unconditional, completely full surrender. And then this overwhelming thing happens, as Prabhupada is describing in the purport. The overwhelming thing that happens is Swasti Stad Vam Chikitshvara. He's Brahma speaking to Manu as the Lord of the world. And he's Brahma. He's addressing his son in this very respectful way. And he's offering Swasti, he's offering all blessings. So if we want blessings, you know, people can say, Ru, please give me your blessings. Here's a way to get the blessings. You have this proper mood of nirvyalikena atmanarpitam. Then you get blessings automatically. And the blessings is what makes any endeavor successful. Say it the other way around. Without blessings, any endeavor is not going to be successful. Even if something starts to happen, the something that starts to happen, if it's unsupported by the blessings of Krishna and the devotees of Krishna, it's like Vyas. There's something missing. And there's this feeling of something missing. This pinch in the heart. And sure enough, after some time, the whole thing falls apart like a house of cards. Just blows over. A little wind and it's gone. Because it requires blessings to support in a sustained way. So Brahma got those blessings from Lord Vishnu. Now Brahma is in turn passing on those blessings to Manu. And another example of this is Manu passes those blessings on to Kardava Muni. Very same, nirvyalikena, same phrase is used, because when Swayambhuva Manu went with his daughter to find Kardava Muni deep in the forest somewhere, found him way, way, way in the deep recesses of the forest. Kardava Muni was very surprised. You're the emperor of the universe. You've come way deep in the forest. There must be some purpose that you've come here for. And he handed him a blank check. Whatever it is, the answer is yes. Who does that? Persons that are of the quality of Kardava Muni and Swayambhuva Manu and Lord Brahma, because they have full trust in the person. When somebody like Swayambhuva Manu comes to visit you, it's whatever you want. Like, you know, if Prabhupada came to your residence, there's what this production that Yadavar has put together following Srila Prabhupada, it's such a masterpiece of inspiration. So many people are giving their descriptions of early in the movement where they're in this remote place and Prabhupada came and visited their home, and you know, little children, you see the pictures, little boys, little girls, and now they're adult voices. What that experience like receiving Prabhupada, and it was whatever you want. There were those that wasn't whatever you want, but those that whatever you want, they completely transformed because they received blessings. And Prabhupada, the purpose of his moving about the planet was to give his blessings, and he was giving his blessings to everyone, but those that were fully surrendered received so much blessings. Would speak of dedicating their lives to making that instruction that Prabhupada gave manifest in the world. So many nice instructions embedded. One devotee was saying like this, that he asked Prabhupada some little moment sitting by Prabhupada, and he asked Prabhupada how to please you. How should I please you? And Prabhupada's reply was, it was Amarendra. That's who it was saying this. And Amaris was saying, I was expecting this, you know, preaching or, you know, very profound something. And Prabhupada's message was, you've made vows. Uphold your vows. Stay steadfast in your vows. This is how you will please me. This is the demonstration of one's surrender and submission. So to this day, although Amarendra has a very busy life, he's there at Mangalarti at the LA temple and chants his rounds and upholds his vows, understanding what Srila Prabhupada wants through very, very difficult circumstances. So each of us, in the process of our training in Krishna consciousness, needs to understand this message of the Bhagavatam. And as Prabhupada is saying here, you know, the relationship of son to father, there he is, our spiritual father, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. Where our spiritual life is existing because of his mercy-giving nature. And this is instruction how we can take those blessings that Prabhupada wanted to offer. Another example of this Nirvilika is where Daksha, after offending Lord Shiva and the whole yagya of Daksha being totally disrupted, including the head of Daksha being disrupted, and lost his head. And then by the Ashwini Kumaras, he got a goat's head instead of no head. So he came before Lord Shiva, Nirvilikena, offering his prayers to Lord Shiva. You know, I was thinking something wrong about you. I was thinking bad about you. I was thinking in a low manner about you. But I understand differently now. And so his prayers were very genuine, without reservation, and with some purity. So Prabhupada chooses in the purport to really focus on the father-son relationship. But the father-son relationship naturally applies to so many other relationships where there's someone who is a superior and someone who is subordinate. You know, in our modern culture, those are like not politically correct terms. It's like bad terms. Superior and subordinate. But anyway, Vedic culture is not a bad term. There's so many relationships with someone who is elder to us or wiser than us or somehow or another is in a position worthy of our respect. And you know, even if it's just etiquette. But when the etiquette is shown and the heart is not there, then it's not Nirvilika. And so therefore, Nirvilikena Hrida. It's not just polite. Oh, yes, my dear Father, what would you like? Then I'll think about it and let you know if I'll do it or not. And I may go through the motions, but my heart's not there. But fully with his heart, that's what the translation means. You have without reservation surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions. So surely the instructions of Brahma are going to be perfectly appropriate for the person and perfectly doable and with all empowerment to do it. And the ultimate benefit of spiritual perfection found within the execution of that instruction. That's blessings. Very nice verse. So, just to repeat what Prabhupada said here, the affection of a father for his son is natural. And if the son has this nirvilika atmanarpitam, 10 times more is the affection of the father for the son. It's just natural. The affection of father to son is natural, and this other phenomenon is also natural. So then Prabhupada's concluding statement is, the example of the father of mankind may be rigidly followed by mankind. And that will advance the cause of relationships of fathers and sons. So supposing one's father isn't qualified like Lord Brahma. I mean, that's like everybody, right? Whose father is qualified like Lord Brahma? So what do you do? See you later. Or no respect. Or let's say, you know, in our society of devotees, someone is practicing Krishna consciousness in a very steadfast way. I was appreciating just seeing Pranakarta coming in this morning and offering obeisances before the Vyasa Sun, thinking, here's a devotee who's dedicated his life to Prabhupada's mission. I mean, where are there such people in the world? And Jitendriya and of course, Chandrababu Maharaj, and, you know, these devotees, they're, wow. And there's so much wisdom that they can share with us. I mean, not just you guys, but us, and ours, all of us. It's such a treasure. And Vedic culture is recognizing that there's this natural respect. Just natural respect. Just natural. And when there's that natural respect and that natural sharing of the wisdom, the treasure, of the realizations of what it feels like to be fully surrendered and stay in that position of fully surrendered. It's a very powerful resource. So, one of the things I like about Yadavar's video, it's people sharing those experiences, little cameo shots of them, but a whole spray, worldwide spray of those experiences of moments with Prabhupada and what their experience was and their surrender to him, or what their experience was when they hesitated in surrendering to him, and they're sharing those experiences. So it's very, very valuable instruction. So the valuable instruction is, as Prabhupada is indicating in the last part of the purport, is so that quality of full surrender is something that we can follow. We have examples, we have inspiration of perfection. Here's what it looks like. And we're way down here somewhere, but that's what the thing looks like that we want. And we can strive for that. And feeling ourselves dependent upon that mercy, we can reach that goal. And our lives become worthy recipients of the mercy that Prabhupada wanted to give. Okay, so Any comments? Jitendriya, Prabhu.
On July 2nd? June, excuse me. Okay, I'm just trying to repeat that because I can't hear so well.
June 2nd, came out on the 7th. Have you seen him?
No.
On the terrorism in there, starts out in the club on July 7th and 4th. And then number 8, it's supposed to be in the club on 7th and 5th. I didn't know that was coming out.
Did you see that kind of thing? Okay. I don't know. I have a standing order too, but I don't have it. Huh? 7. Jaya, Jagannath. The verses are beautiful.
It seems like a catch-22, a mind-telling lesson. Because many times we're not able to recognize the type of motivation that we have in our heart. And we feel that sometimes, we may know theoretically we're not sure in our motivation, but we feel that we're unmotivated. So it seems that it requires blessing to come to that level, and then that is required to receive blessing.
This was discussed last night. He asked the question, what about deception? Because truthfulness, we were speaking about the four pillars, and truthfulness is the one remaining, and truthfulness gets destroyed by deception. But then there's self-deception. So how do we deal with that? Association. Association where we have loving relationships. Then someone can, when there's a loving relationship, it's a lot easier to hear. Jai Jagannath, you're deceiving yourself. What do you mean I'm deceiving myself? But if there's a loving relationship, you can trust that the words and the communication is coming in a loving way. And then we can overcome, at least there's an opportunity, overcome self-deception. And then another very nice example from Prabhupada's instructions way back in 1966 is that we should try to be good association for others. Because, you know, the person who is person A speaking to person B about self-deception may be gluing themselves into self-deception about themselves and how they're seeing things. So, it's incumbent upon us to each strive be good association and to receive good association, and then this deception and self-deception program can at least diminish. We have a chance. Good association. And open our heart, be and receive good association. Chandamali Maharaj, you want to share something here on this topic? Some wisdom for us? Anything, blank slate, anything you want to. Okay. Satisfied. All right. Okay, yes.
Because if you hear how we make a step towards Krishna, Krishna makes coming from the blessing, this is going to take some form of
I've heard it. It was so many times that I would have to research where Prabhupada said it. I've heard that Prabhupada said it. There's this statement that we've heard where we take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 100 steps towards us. Is that something that Prabhupada said? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.